First of all, I just wanted to share a couple of things to set a foundation. I think a lot of you know my testimony, but there was a point in my life where I wasn't really sure of what I was doing and how I was doing it, and I got caught involved into the New Age, which is like based on Hinduism. But the interesting thing is, in Hinduism, there's a belief system that they have, which is called reincarnation. And what they do is that every year or every time when someone dies, then that person is supposedly going to come back each lifetime. And the reason for that is so that they can clear karma and get better and better and better spiritually in their way, which is not what we do, but that's what they do in the Hinduistic belief. But the other thing that I think is interesting is that they actually, and I was one of these people, they actually believe that Christians, when they come back, are here for their first lifetime, meaning they know nothing spiritually, which we know is wrong. And we know that that's total deception. But the interesting thing is that my job was that when these people, such as Christians, when they actually reincarnated and came back for their first lifetime, it was my job to organize personal development seminars and those types of things so that I could actually go after the Christians to lose their faith. So when God gave me mercy, he gave me mercy because I was against Christians. And I designed everything in those courses to come against the Christians or to target the Christians and to try and stop what they were doing. Because we believed they were holding back the planet and the peace on the planet and all that sort of rubbish. But that's what we believed. So I'm so glad for his mercy and his grace of what came into my life. The other interesting thing is that, as I said, my job was to actually get them to... And then the thing was that in the Bible, it actually talks about a false prophet. I was one of those. I was a false prophet because what I did is I organized everything that I could to be against those people and to wean them away from their faith. So false prophets do exist and they're out there. Praise God, I'm not one anymore. Praise God that I had an open vision. I was doing actually a seminar. And I was doing this open vision showed up just over to the right of me. And it was a New Age seminar, which was interesting. But God appeared to me. And then Jesus appeared to me as well on the right-hand side of God. And I knew nothing about the right-hand side. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about any of that sort of stuff. But the interesting thing was I just knew it was Jesus. I didn't know how because I looked at a Hindu Jesus, that sort of thing. And so what ended up happening was that he looked at me and he said, I want you to hold out your hands. And then I held out my hands. And then what shot out of his hands straight into my hands was like light came flying through. And he said, you've been healing for the devil up until now. From this point on, I need you as an assignment to start healing for God. And so that's where I'm at. That's my heart. That's why I go after God. That's why, you know, praise God of what he does and how he does it for me. And he is an awesome God. And I know the power that the enemy has because I've been there and I've been part of that whole process. And not anymore. Praise God. So I actually wrote a couple of funny things. You know, I said I was a sinner going to hell, which I was, and that's not funny. And I was also a false prophet. But until that open vision, then things started to change for me. And as they started to change for me and I was able to then become a born-again Christian, what I did is I actually asked the Lord, how do I kind of follow your ways? How do I do that? And he said to me very clearly, he said, I want you to get a Bible and I want you to only do what I tell you to do. So from that point on, after I got a Bible, I actually tested God out. And I, in the sense of testing him out to see what miracles he had, how he had miracles, and in what way did he have miracles. And so he ended up miracle after miracle, healing, financial, constantly through the 12 months. And at the end of the 12 months, I went, okay, I believe this God's going to work. Jesus is going to work. He has power. And in that power, now what I want to do is I actually want to follow him and become born again. And so that was what happened. And then ever since that day of becoming born again and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, from that point on, I've always had him by my side and the Holy Spirit inside of me. And there's a couple of scriptures that I just wanted to read to you that I started to live my life upon. And the first one is There's a scripture that I needed to stay on track. It's Paul in Colossians 2:8, and he actually says, beware lest anyone cheat you, which is kind of like what used to happen for me when I was a false prophet, is that I was cheated all the time, through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of man and according to the basic principles of the world, but not on Christ. And so when I saw that, I went, okay, I need to follow everything on Christ. I have to become almost like a supernatural nut, that I've just got to constantly follow the Lord and go after the Lord. And then I said to the Lord, well, how do I actually do that? Because there's a lot of deception in the world. And I need to be able to overcome that deception. And that's the scripture he gave me to be able to do that. In fact, at the heading of my Bible, it says philosophy, not when things are based on philosophy, you're cheated out of these things. So I'm not saying I'm against anyone who has a counseling thing or anything else, but the bottom line, if we're going to have a revival in this land, if we're going to have it, it's going to have to be through the supernatural. The New Age, there's millions of people in the New Age, and not only that, there's millions of people that I sometimes see ads, and the ads are saying things like, come to my psychology, come to my course, and if you come to my course, then we can do yoga, and we can do this, and we can do that. And there's just a lot of deception that's out there that really frustrates me when I see it. And so then, besides the deception in the world, I also then had a consulting company once I became a Christian. And I thought, how do I do this, Lord? How do I actually continue to be a consultant and in that way? So this is the scripture that he gave me for my work. And it was, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and thrown and trampled underfoot by man. And you are the light of the world, a city on the hill, and it cannot be hidden. And nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket and hide it under a lampstand. Let your light, this is the part that the Lord challenged me with, let your light so shine that they see your good works and then they glorify your Father in heaven. I thought, hang on, they're going to glorify my Father in heaven if I do good works. And so the Lord started to show me how I could actually get a prophetic strategy for companies. And then God started opening large doors everywhere for me so that I could go into those companies and I could actually bring a prophetic strategy. And I would tell them that. I said, I've prayed about this. This is what God has told me that it will happen for your company if we apply this and if we implement it. And then after we did the implementation, it worked. Guaranteed. And sometimes I'd get asked, do you guarantee what you do and how you do it? And I said, well, I do guarantee it because it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. So I was always open. I was never afraid of wanting to say any of that sort of stuff. And then the next thing I said, well, Lord, how do I do this? Like, how do I actually get the prophetic? How do I lean in and find out that information? How do I do that? And then he told me it's about the Holy Spirit. So the next scripture he gave me was that this, when Jesus was talking and he said, however, when he, the Spirit of the truth, comes, he will give you the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will speak on things to come. So I thought, okay, things to come. So there's prophetic in this, and it's going to start to work with that. So that's what I tend to do. So if I'm out in the public and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, I move on it straight away. I don't stick around on it. I don't question it. I don't ask about, oh, was that really you, Lord? I've got this saying, just do it. So as soon as I get a message from the Holy Spirit, I just go and do it. That's it. I'm just going to do it. I don't want to wait around and then start to doubt in my head or do anything else like that. I do it. And I want to give you two examples of two testimonies that happened yesterday for me. One of them was, and also, yeah, people have come to me sometimes and said, hey, how do you get the power? How do we get power? And I said, well, it's not you, but the power can move through you. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus actually said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So these are all little clues that for me started to work, that I needed the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray later as well that if you don't have the Holy Spirit yet, that there's an opportunity to be able to receive him. Because he's the one that guides. He's the one that changes. He's the one that has the power to do the change. I don't have any power. So this one man was, we were at the gym, and there was this one man, and he was like moving in slow-mo. It was really weird. He was like moving his leg like this, and very slow, very slow, very slow, very slow. And then he'd put it down. So I thought, all right, what do I do, Lord? He said, go over and bless him and pray for him. So I went over and I prayed for him. I blessed him, asked his name, found out a little bit about him. And then the next thing was that as soon as I'd finished praying and blessed him, he then kept coming over and coming over and coming. He had all this energy and he kept coming. I had this new friend. He wouldn't leave me alone. He just kept coming over and coming over and coming over, which was awesome because he just kept getting excited. His eyes were all lit up and he just said, for the first time, I can move faster. I can do things faster. Now, see, that's not me. That's God. It's God doing that. And then there was another guy that walked into the cafe we were in, and he had a carer, and I went up and said, okay, if I just talk to the carer, and then can I actually go and pray for him? And she said, you can do whatever you want. If you want to pray, go right ahead and do it. See, a lot of times some people think that no one will let us do it if we're a bit weird, but we're not weird. We're weird for him, you know, in the sense that we're going to move forward and we're going to go forward and we're going to pray and we're going to step out. But then after I started to pray for him, as I was praying for him, he just started to shake. He started to tell me things. He said, look, I miss someone. No one's ever prayed for me before. Thank you for doing this. He just, the thanks that he had was so great. It was just so great of how and who and how he was receiving from me, a stranger. It was incredible. So there were the two things that I did yesterday. And you want to share some of the other testimonies through the week?
Sure. And testimonies, great. I love them. To me, testimonies, I think, is like the spirit of prophecy. And as we testify, we're actually declaring, do it again, God. Heal the next broken heart. Open the next blind eyes. Let the captives free. So I believe that as we testify, it's God revealing his heart. So I love testimonies. I love it when Pastor Kim gets people up to testify. Doesn't your heart just go, oh, God's at work, he's doing things. And I loved it when Sam shared. I loved it when all of you shared. It's just so empowering for our hearts. And so I want to just start with just a few of my favorite testimonies that have happened for us very recently. We're at the op shop. These are just like, what it does for me is it reveals the heart of the Father. That's all. It's not about us at all. It's not, you know, we miss it, we blow it, we repent over and over. But it is about revealing the heart of the Father. So we're in an op shop and I noticed this little gal, and she had two little ones with her. One was really tiny and the other one was a little boy and he was walking. You know, and she had like the short shorts and the tats, and, you know, I just looked at her and my heart just went out to her. I thought, she's done it hard. She's done it tough, this girl. Anyway, as she got into the car, I said to Al, let's go and, like, I just feel like I want to tell her she's a great mum. She's an awesome mum, you know. So we just went over to the side of the car and she's loading her kids in the car, and so we just stopped her and she just looked at us and she said, thank you so much for saying that. And then we just felt to share our journey as single parents. She started to open up and she said, I live with my father out in the western suburbs, and she said, my husband left me when my second child was born. He just walked out. She said, I have single parented my children for all these years and I've lived with my father. And she said, I love my dad. She said, but I just needed a break. So she brought the kids up to the coast and had popped into the op shop. So we just started sharing our journey, our single parent journey, how God had, you know, redeemed us both and brought together a family, and just an amazing story of redemption. And then Alan said, can we pray for you? Can we pray for you? And she said, yes, I'd love that. So we just laid hands on her, prayed for her. She had a baby in one arm and her other little one at her feet. And, you know, we prayed and she just wept in our arms. It was like, he sees, he sees, he sees the little broken mum, you know, and that was just so precious for us. And then we were in Woolies, in the aisle in Woolies, and we're walking down, and I saw this young man, just this, like at the beginning of his life, you know, he would have been in his maybe late 20s, and he had like his legs were kind of bandaged. They looked like they were in kind of calipers sort of things. And I thought he's had an accident. So what I often do is when I see someone that's hurting is I go up and I intro by saying, what have you done to yourself? And often people are more than happy to tell you what they've done. Anyway, and he just looked at me and he said, I have advanced diabetes and all my bones are flaking and breaking. So they just keep having to put plaster casts around my bones. And I just looked at him, you know, like he had the modern haircut, he had some tats, and just, you know, you could just tell he was just a fine young man. And so our hearts, you know, he's at the beginning of his life. This man has so much to look forward to. So we just said, can we pray for you? So we're in the middle of Woolies, in the pharmacy aisle with this young man. And he said, yes, please. So we just laid hands on him and Al went for it. He just, you know, he you know, prays the healing, does the whole thing. And then I seem to somehow come in at the end of that and always just, I just like to lay my hand on that person's heart. They're open and just pray for an encounter with the love of God. So he just, and so when we finished, he just looked at us and he went, oh, I feel so much better. And off he went, you know, and off we went. it was just fun. It's just, you know, God just, he loves it. Okay, and then I want to tell you. So in our neighbourhood, I won't give names to protect the innocent. they're a gay girl couple, and they've just had an IVF baby, a little girl. And, you know, my natural man argues a lot, so I'm arguing. And I felt the Lord say, make a meal for them. Make a meal for them and drop it round. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. So I'm in the kitchen making a meal. Well, actually, it was two meals because one's a veggie and one's a meat eater. So I'm in the kitchen, I'm making this meal. And as I'm standing there making this meal, I felt the love of God just overwhelm me, like his mercy and his mercy on their brokenness. And so I'm standing there crying, cooking this meal for them. And so packed it all up, made it as beautiful as I could, did a dessert, made some brownies, just, you know, and then popped it around on a tray. And they were so touched. They were so touched. And then, in fact, a few days ago, I had to go over and they said, we've got a little present for you. And they gave us a gift and it was a gift of a mug, a custom mug with their baby's face on it. It was just so beautiful and it came with much love. And you know, what I realised is that he thinks differently to we do. He thinks differently. His mercy is incredible. And okay, last one. For now. so then we're down our driveway. So we live on a hill and we've got 150 acres behind us, which is beautiful. But the leaves, oh my gosh, the leaves and the sticks and the bark and it's just relentless. So we're down our driveway the other day. Alan has his Captain America t-shirt on. And there's a gentleman that we've seen since we've been back in a big, he's got a big black kind of van with dark windows, and I've kind of seen him come and go, and I thought he's got pink, hot pink dreadies he wears in a bun on the top, he's got shaved sides of his head, he's covered with tats, and he's big, and he's scary looking, you know, and I've never said hello because it's like I'm anyway, so he is over across the road talking to a neighbour, and they were talking for ages. We're just raking the leaves, getting down the driveway. And suddenly when we get towards the end of the driveway, the guy with the top knot, he yells out and he said, oh, I like your T-shirt, Captain America. So it was like he broke the ice. So we just raked up a few more leaves, had a little chat about Captain America and that he's, you know, Captain Canada and instead. So we saw it as an opportunity. We thought, okay, we get to, these guys have reached out, let's go and introduce ourselves. We've been here a year, we don't know who they are. So we walk over the road and we just start chatting to them, chatting. the guy, the big guy, he just starts opening his whole life up. Because I said to him, I said, do you live on your own? And he said, yes, I do. He said, my wife left. We had two children, one called a little girl, a little five-year-old, and then when our new baby was born, he said she started doing recreational drugs. And he said, and she started to get some mental problems. And he said, so I don't know how long ago, 2 years ago I think it was, he said, she's told me she was going to visit a family member. She took the girls and he's never seen them since. Never seen them since. So this great big burly man is just breaking open his heart. And he said, we're going through the courts now, because he said, I want access. I want to see my girls. I need to see my girls. And he said, we're going through the courts. He said, but she's just presented a whole lot of lies, a whole lot of lies through the courts. So Alan then started to give his testimony out of his ex and, you know, the abuse and the lies through the courts, etc. And so, and he just, and he said to him, he said, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And he said, yes, please. So there's this new neighbour on this side, then there's him. And so that we're all in this little moment together and we're sweating and dripping. We've got twigs out of my hair and gross. Anyway, so Alan starts praying for him that God will intervene and that God will bring justice, you know. And when he'd finished praying, the guy went, oh, thank you so much. Before I knew it, I ran and hugged him like a mama bear. Like, but everything in me, I knew God was hugging him. I knew it was God's heart hugging him. Hugged for ages, just stood there hugging and hugging and hugging. And I knew it was a moment. I knew it was a moment in God. And when I let go, I looked over to the neighbour that was standing with us, and he had a big smile on his face, and he went, well, that was unexpected. Yeah. It was a light moment. And then, so I know this afternoon we're going to do Santa hats, and we've got a whole bunch of cookies and chocolates we're just going to deliver to, you know, the neighbours, which we will love doing, and he will be on the list, and also the other man who lives on his own two doors down, so he's targeted as well, and that's a beautiful thing. Oh, sorry, babe.
Sorry, I just wanted to add one thing to go back to the two gay women. They named their child the Hebrew name for gift from God.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Gift
Target.
From God.
Yeah. So I think the beautiful thing is every time we reach out and we touch a life, we're actually painting a target on somebody for God. Doesn't matter how big or how small, it can be a smile, a kind word, whatever it is, it's a target. We've painted a target on you right now for God. And I found this scripture in Hosea and I love it. I just love this verse. It says, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And I was to them one who lifts up and eases the yoke over their cheeks. And I bent down to them and gently laid food before them. Isn't that beautiful? That's the heart of God. I drew them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. So we literally are wrapping cords of God's love around people's hearts. And I know that we can give without loving, but we can't love without giving. For God so loved, he gave, and that is us. And so I just, out of that, I just wanted to share my, just a personal testimony from me. The church culture that I grew up in didn't necessarily celebrate sonship. You were celebrated more for service and for performance. And do you know what? That fit for me, because I loved Jesus. I knew him. I loved his word. I loved the Holy Spirit. But the father heart of God was distant for me. And I always felt that I had to do more. I had to just do the next thing. So whenever an evangelist would come through the church, I'd be like, I'd leave and I'd go, well, there's another hoop that I have to jump through, and I don't want to do it. I don't know how to do it. It's false for me. It's fake. I'm not that person. I'm not an extrovert. I can't do it. And so that's where I left it. That's exactly. But what it was I was actually an orphan. I didn't know my dad. And we were in a conference in America. I can't even remember what conference it was, but I ended up just going out for prayer. And as I went down on the floor as an orphan, and after, I think Al says it was hours, I got up off the floor as a daughter. And every bit of fear, every bit of every, like, it was the most amazing encounter. And I knew finally he was my dad. I could call him daddy. He's the king of the universe. He's the commander of angel armies. He's the consuming fire, but he's my daddy. He's my dad. And the best. So from that point, because perfect love casts out all fear. So from that point, every bit of fear was gone. My worship was different. I could talk to anybody because it didn't matter. I wasn't fearing rejection. I wasn't fearing what you thought or what you said. I know I'm loved and I can make mistakes. I'm free to make a mistake. It's just, so that was my journey into actually, I guess, evangelism, lifestyle evangelism. It's the heart. It's the heart of the Father. And I believe the greatest catalyst for any of us is for the Father's heart to be revealed to us, because then we give out of his heart. It's just an overflow. So I remember reading when Philip said to Jesus, you know, show us the Father and it'll satisfy us. And he turned and he said, Philip, have I been with you so long now and yet you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And I believe as we see the Father, we get to reveal him. As we see him, as our hearts see him, we will reveal him. And I love it in the... the Passion Translation, it says, I have revealed to them, this is Jesus speaking, who you are, he's talking about the Father, and I will continue to make you even more real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me, for your love will now live in them even as I live in them. So that, I believe that's the Great Commission. That's the great thing. I just know as we have encounter with the Father's love, nothing else matters. You know, like it's like he is the answer to everything. And the vulnerability that Australia is feeling right now, you know, our first terrorist but the worst. You know, it's like the heart of this nation is vulnerable. The heart of this nation is vulnerable for truth, for love, for an encounter. People feel, they don't feel safe. They don't feel. So this is our greatest moment. I believe this is the church's greatest moment right now. And with the commission, we're commissioned going to all the world and preach the gospel and sometimes use words. So I love that. And with the commission comes authority. And I believe the greater our yes, the greater the authority we carry. I mean, I love just seeing what's happened in Alan, you know, just watching him just seek the Father on his face, you know, an hour a day on his face, on his face, on his face. And he is seeing miracles. He's seeing miracles in the marketplace. You know, it's beautiful. So it's just all about him. It's all about him. But we get to give him away. We get to give the love of the Father away. You know, I remember Bill Johnson saying this. It's a classic one-liner. Jesus was sent to a planet of orphans to reveal the Father, a perfect Father. So I don't know. That's kind of, yeah. And then the other scripture that's been coming to me is, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then comes harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, because they're white or ready to harvest. They're white or ready to harvest. And this is out of the Passion, that verse. It says, it's from John 4:35. It says, as the crowds emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is harvest time. Their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for a harvest. That's here. That's now. I have sent you out to harvest a field that you haven't planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you, and now you are privileged to profit from their labors and reap the harvest. I believe that's that is a call for us as a body, of believers, to bring the heart of the Father like never before. People want it. People are ready. And I believe it's a fresh baptism in his love. As we, you know, when I was praying this morning, I just saw raindrops, golden raindrops coming down from heaven. And I said to the Lord, what's that? He said, they're my mercy raindrops. They're my raindrops of mercy, my glory and my mercy. So God is raining his mercy over this nation. He's raining his mercy over this people. He's raining his mercy. And we get to give that away. We get to give that away. And Christmas, what a better time. You know, it's like, it's not weird. It's not weird. You can connect with some Merry Christmas. You know, it's like, anyway, you, this is a house of love. This is a house full of sons and daughters. You know how to love. You know how to reach out. You're kind. You're generous. You're giving. You're loving. This is a healthy house. It's wonderful, wonderful to be here. Thank you, guys. We love you.